tune out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday the 2nd of June 2026 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com where we're going to take a look at pop culture today, particularly actors in whiteface. And of course we get lots of, it's socially unacceptable now to have white actors wearing blackface and pretending to be black people. But it seems to be completely accepted that we have black actors pretending to be white people. And this has really only come about in the last 10 years. And we see it all the time. We see very important characters from European past that were quite clearly white people now being portrayed by black people. And we're being told that this is great. Isn't this wonderful? It's diversity. Yet when we have somebody playing somebody Jewish, who is not Jewish, as happened recently, we get all these complaints. And it seems to me that it's a bit of a double standard there, that if you're going to complain that somebody not Jewish is playing a Jewish person, but you're going to say it's perfectly acceptable for black actors and actresses to play people from white European history, then you're a bit of a hypocrite, aren't you? Now, as I say, this has been going on for quite a while now, and the most recent incident of it, which is really causing quite a stir, is Homer's Odyssey. Now, quite clearly, Homer's Odyssey, when this was written about the fall of Troy, which supposedly took place about the 11th century BC, there were no sub-Saharan Africans in Troy or in Greece. They were below the Sahara. They couldn't get past the Sahara. That's why they were called sub-Saharan Africans. It wasn't until Arab slave traders made their way across the Sahara that the sub-Saharan Africans came into some of these places alongside these Muslim slave traders. And that was not until like after the advent of Muhammad, which is about 600 AD. So the fact is, there would have been no black people whatsoever in Greece or Troy, and yet they're putting black people into Homer's Odyssey. And they're not just putting them there in random places. They're actually putting them there as the main person, the woman whose face was apparently so beautiful, the face that launched 1,000 ships. Basically, she was so beautiful that this war took place. And they're actually using a sub-Saharan African to play this woman, which is surely it's cultural appropriation. Surely this is seen as insulting to white people and particularly insulting to Greek people, even though clearly the Greeks today are not the Greeks of the classical civilization. There's been lots of population changes since then. But they were quite clearly white, the people that took part in the Odyssey. I mean, you had Aeneas from Troy. He was the king of Troy, and he left Troy during the Trojan War. And he came to Greece. I think he founded Athens. And he also, or he lived at Athens, and he founded, he married the daughter of the king of Latinus, effectively, and he was seen as the beginner, the progenitor of the Roman Empire. But also his grandson was Brutus of Troy, the Trojan prince, and he made his way across Europe, picked up other Trojans who were enslaved in one area, and he made his way to Britain. and gave his name to the Britons. That's where we get our name from, Brutus of Troy. Interestingly, there's an alphabet that followed him as well, which they deny the existence of in Britain, the Colburn alphabet. Julius Caesar wrote about it. It was written about multiple times in our past. There are copies of it. Of course, today they try to say that it's a fake, but it's effectively the same alphabet that is found in Etruria. And the Etruscan civilization, which was there before the Roman civilization. So you have this alphabet that basically comes from Asia Minor. It's found there. It makes its way to Etruscan, which is where Brutus was. It then makes its way across France. It makes its way to Britain. It follows the exact same line that Brutus of Troy took. Surely that's evidence of the veracity of the Brutus of Troy story, or at least some veracity to it. There's some truth to it. If there's an alphabet that makes its way all the way across the Europe like that to Britain. And of course, the Brutus of Troy was quite clearly white, and the word British meant to look like Brutus of Troy. So, you had to be white to be British. To look like Brutus, you would have to be white. So all the Trojans were white, and yet now they're being portrayed as being black. And the article I've got here is from Breitbart, and it's particularly about today's Greeks and about how they feel about this. And the headline is, Greek culture news site rips Christopher Nolan's The Odyssey for excluding Greeks from DEI cast. So it's not just that there's a lack of white people in it, there's a complete lack of any Greek people in it. Hollywood director Christopher Nolan is being ripped by a Greek interest publication for not having any Greek actors in his adaptation of The Odyssey. Nolan's film is based on the 2,800-year-old epic poem told by Homer, which follows the fantastic journey of the heroic king of Ithaca, Odysseus. It is one of the oldest known works of literature in history and was composed by a Greek man in Greek for his fellow Greeks. Yet Nolan's film, toasted by Hollywood Access Media for its diversity, does not have any Greeks in it at all. And the Greek City Times, an Australia-based news site dedicated to promoting Hellenism and serving the global Greek diaspora, is calling out the hypocrisy of that creative decision. That's also interesting. It says there that it was written in Greek for his fellow Greeks, and that wasn't at the time. I mean, it wasn't in the 11th century that the Odyssey was written. The Odyssey was written much later, in the 5th or the 6th century, I think it is. And this is when the Greeks actually had an alphabet, because going back to the 11th century, the Greeks didn't actually have an alphabet. But this Etruscan alphabet, it comes from before then, which is the reason why some people will say, well, the British gave their alphabet actually to the Greeks, because that was something that was believed in past times. And that could only be true if the alphabet was the same as this Etruscan alphabet. And this Etruscan alphabet is also very, very similar to Phoenician, which is, of course, where we get the word phonetic from, and where we get our alphabet today. Getting back to this article here, though. For years, Hollywood has lectured audiences about representation, inclusion, cultural sensitivity, and the moral necessity of diversity in storytelling, the paper writes in its critique of Nolan's film. Studios, actors, and filmmakers have repeatedly insisted that authenticity matters, that cultures should not merely be mined for content, while the people connected to those cultures remain invisible. And of course they do, but I mean, my argument here would be, well, the modern day Greeks were not the people of the Odyssey. They're just the people that are living in that country now. Yes, they are white, or the majority of them are white. I mean, you can't say that every multicultural country is now full of white people, because it's not. The actual Greeks themselves are white, but they're not the direct descendants of the people that wrote the Odyssey epic or fought against the Trojans, unfortunately. So, I mean, you could make that argument, and then you could say, but it's okay to have white people in it, because obviously the Trojans were white and the Greeks were white. But the big insult is the fact that they're putting a black person in there who's clearly pretending to be white. I mean, I don't really see what the difference is, whether it's a black person wearing white face or a white person wearing black face. It's essentially the same thing. You can't say that it's morally wrong to have white actors in blackface if it's perfectly acceptable to have black actors in whiteface, which is essentially what this black actress is doing. She's pretending to be white. The upcoming adaptation of The Odyssey by Christopher Nolan appears to embody precisely that contradiction. It continues, noting that Nolan's upcoming film has become trapped inside the exhausted binary of woke versus anti-woke, the paper points out that Nolan is absolutely entitled to cast whoever he wants, but that fact does not paper over the glaring problem with Nolan's film and his reasoning for his casting. The paper asks the obvious question. Once a production visibly embraces the language and optics of modern diversity politics, it becomes entirely legitimate to ask a simple question. If representation matters so deeply, why does a story rooted in one of the foundational works of Greek civilization seemingly exclude Greeks altogether? This representation idea, it does occur. I mean, people do like to see themselves represented. I mean, we're often being told, well, the reason why they do this is because black people like to see themselves represented on television. They want to see themselves represented in film. We need to have this representation for them. It's self-affirming for them and all these other things, which is true. But if that's going to be true for black people, it also has to be true for white people, doesn't it? And white people want to see their own people. They want to be reaffirmed in their own identity. White people are obviously going to feel more secure when they're dealing with white people rather than when they're dealing with black people. Again, this is one of the faults of multiculturalism. It means that nobody gets any representation and nobody is happy. And this is the reason why they do it, really, because it puts everybody on edge and it makes it very difficult for people to unite together to provide any resistance to what's going on. Of course, I mean political resistance. I certainly don't mean any violent resistance. But diversity helps to divide the population. The more multicultural an area is, the less trust there is between the citizens in that area. And this was discovered in a study called The Downside of Diversity, the largest study of diversity and the results of diversity. It was paid for by the United Nations, probably about 15, 20 years ago now. And the guy that actually did the study sat on the results for a number of years because he knew that they actually proved the opposite of this idea that diversity is a strength. And one of the downsides of it is that there is less trust between people. And this is why people want to see themselves represented. I mean, it's only a natural instinct to be amongst your own people. It's a survival instinct, really. This is why babies wish to be amongst their own ethnic group, because they know that it's risky to be with another ethnic group. I mean, anything could happen. It's not part of your own group. It's an instinctive survival mechanism that people have. And it's even related to the hormones that people produce. I mean, if you're amongst your own ethnic group, you produce more oxytocin, which makes you feel good. So even our hormones are acting against us because of this multiculturalism, so it always puts us on edge. There is not one prominent ethnic Greek actor, not one Greek-American performer, not even a symbolic acknowledgement of the culture from which the story originates, the editorial continues. That omission is not merely ironic. It exposes the selective and performative nature of Hollywood's modern diversity framework, it says. Well, it also goes to show that what they actually mean by diversity is less white people. That's what it means. A fully diverse production would have no white people in it at all, because they're always saying, well, what we've done so far is good, but that we have a lot further to go. We have a lot more to do. Even when the BBC did an investigation of representation, and they found that they were massively overrepresented by homosexuals, like hugely overrepresentation, and yet they said, oh, well, we still have a long way to go. We're still underrepresenting lesbians. They didn't say, well, actually, we should stop representing so many homosexual characters and trans characters, because they're actually far more that we're showing than represent their percentage of the population. They effectively said, oh no, it's not good enough, we have to do more. And it's the same with black people on adverts. Black people make up 4-5% of the population in Britain, and yet they make up over 50% of people in the adverts. So this diversity, it's not based on percentage of the population, it's just based on erasing white people. The paper goes on to blast Hollywood for constantly focusing on cultural ownership, even as Nolan's entire movie smacks of cultural appropriation. And the point is spot on. Hollywood has repeatedly condemned the historical practice of dominant industries borrowing from minority cultures while excluding the people themselves, the paper notes. And yet that is arguably exactly what is happening here. And it's happening everywhere that they put black people into white history and claim that the character is actually black. Because that's what they're doing. I mean, they're essentially inserting black people into parts of history where they have no business being. And it's the same in Britain, where they'll try and say that, oh, we had black African Roman commanders and black Africans chieftains. And that's not true. What we had is North African Roman commanders. North African people were over here in Britain, and the North Africans were white at the time of Rome. They were mainly made up of the, well, previously it was the Carthaginians, who were originally the Phoenicians, and then later on, I think about the 4th or the 5th century, you end up with a German tribe, the Vandals, taking over North Africa. So particularly when it talks about an African king coming over from Africa and beating the Saxons in England and going over and thrashing the Irish and then heading back over to France, and it says that it was the king of Africa, it doesn't mean that it was a sub-Saharan African. It means that it was one of the Germanic tribes, the Vandals, that was the king of Africa. And of course, they disingenuously today, they'll try and pretend that that meant that it was a sub-Saharan black African when it wasn't. So they're doing it with our history, and they do it with our movies, and they do it with our TV shows, they do it with our books. They just try to insert black people into all these different areas to try and deceive people into thinking that the white world has always been multicultural. I mean, the European world was never multicultural. It all happened after the Second World War, effectively. And if you look at the old world, you look at the white civilizations from the old world. Shortly after becoming multicultural, the civilization collapsed. And the people that you have living there in that area now are no longer white. I mean, that's the end result of multiculturalism. Ancient Greece is not simply an aesthetic backdrop. The Odyssey is one of the defining literary works of Western civilization, a cornerstone of Greek cultural identity, mythology, and intellectual history, the editorial rightly says. Its themes of homecoming, loyalty, temptation, identity, and perseverance emerge from a distinctly Greek worldview and cultural tradition. If Hollywood truly believes representation matters, then Greek representation should matter too. And I say not just Greek representation, but the central characters should be white. They shouldn't be black. I mean, how can you pretend that Africa has an intellectual history? Africa doesn't have an intellectual history. White people in Africa have an intellectual history. As I say, they were North Africans, famous people from the church, Julius Africanus, which just meant a white man from Africa called Julius. All of these people had an intellectual history, but sub-Saharan Africans don't have an intellectual history. They don't have any philosophical history, and yet it's being pretended here that they were a part of Greek civilization. The question the paper asks turns a spotlight on the empty preaching so often seen in Hollywood. Why is white culture devalued so much in Hollywood? And just how politically motivated and empty is Hollywood's drive for diversity? And of course, I would wonder there whether part of the reason for why white culture is devalued so much in Hollywood could be because of the disproportionate percentage of Jews that are involved in Hollywood. Could that be related to why white culture is devalued. I mean, you would imagine if an ethnic group had control of the movies, that ethnic group would do their best to make themselves look good in those movies, and they would do their best to make their opponents, their competitors, look bad, wouldn't they? I mean, it's just common sense that they would do that. Of course, Breitbart isn't going to point that out, and I'm not putting any value judgment on it. We know that Jews are disproportionately represented in Hollywood. There are books written about it by Jews themselves. One of them is called An Empire of Their Own, sort of saying that these Europeans, they had all these empires throughout the ancient world and ancient history, and now Jews have got an empire of their own, and it's the movies, and the movies that they make is their empire. And of course, if they're going to use those movies to try and promote themselves, and they're going to use them to weaken their competitors, we are their competitors, Europeans are their competitors, then it stands to reason that they're going to devalue white culture and promote things that they consider to be Jewish culture. So it's common sense to me that that would happen, and I'm not trying to incite hate against Jews for doing that, because they are correctly doing the right thing, aren't they? They're trying to improve their own chances in the world, and they're trying to weaken their competitors, and there's nothing wrong with doing that. It makes diversity appear less like a sincere ethical principle and more like a fashionable industry currency applied selectively according to political trends, institutional incentives, and awards season calculations, the editorial concludes. Well, yes, I mean, that's a very wordy way of pointing it out, isn't it? That diversity isn't there because they do actually want to have a diversity of ideas. Diversity is there because they want to see less white people. They want to see less of their competitors. They want to see their competitors replaced by other people groups that aren't their competitors. That's the long and short of it. Of course, the paper is 100% correct. Nolan is playing politics with the Odyssey, and his film seems to be little else but an exercise in left-wing hypocrisy. Apparently, they've also got a transgender taking part in this movie as well. I've got a second article here, and this is actually about the woman that is playing Helen, apparently the most beautiful woman in the world. Yale-educated Lupita Nyong'o admits she never heard of the Odyssey before Helen of Troy casting. Now, I look at this woman. She's not unappealing for a black woman, but she's certainly not the most beautiful woman in the world. Kenyan actress Lupita Nyong'o has admitted that before being cast as Helen of Troy in Christopher Nolan's adaptation of the 2,800-year-old Greek classic The Odyssey, she had never even heard of the epic story, despite having graduated from Yale University. Well, that kind of proves my point about sub-Saharan Africans not having an intellectual history. And that's the reason why she doesn't know about this. I guess when she was at Yale, she just concentrated on the things that she was doing at Yale rather than submersing herself in the wider cultural aspects of European civilization. She said, "I really had no idea what the Odyssey was," she told Elle magazine. "I was like, oh snap, I don't know the first thing about this. So it was a crash course. I picked up the books and read them immediately. I have this film to thank for my Greek mythological education." The admission is startling considering the fact that she is a graduate of one of America's most elite universities. Well, perhaps she was only there because of diversity, equity and inclusion. Perhaps there was a diversity quota. And that was how she got into, was it Yale University? We know that David Lammy, he was on a diversity quota when he got into, I think it was Harvard that he got into. The actress, born to Kenyan parents in Mexico, then raised in Kenya, graduated from Hampshire College with a theatre degree, then went to Yale in 2009 and obtained a master's degree in acting in 2012. She also attended several high-status colleges in Kenya. Yet despite attending all these high-class universities and schools, she claims to never have run across one of the most famous epic tales in literature, a story that has been adapted into film, TV and literature more than most other stories ever written. Well, they probably decolonized the curriculum and removed any parts that were to do with the Odyssey because it was just white people and there weren't any black people in it. Nyong'o was thrust into the eye of controversy after it was revealed that film director Christopher Nolan had cast her to play Helen of Troy, noted in the tale as the most beautiful woman in the world and the face that launched a thousand ships. The Helen character, of course, is Greek, and Nolan's decision to cast Nyong'o riled lovers of the Odyssey. Well, of course they're going to be not too pleased about this. The Kenyan actress, though, has dismissed the naysayers and insisted that she wants to look deeper into the character than mere beauty. "You can't perform beauty," she explained. "I want to know who a character is, what is beyond beauty, what is beyond looks. That's the thing about doing such a well-known text, which has been studied and interpreted and derived from." Well, what we know about Helen of Troy is that she was beautiful. I mean, that's the most noted characteristic of her, is that she is beautiful. And as I say, this black woman, she's not unappealing for a black woman, but she's certainly not a paragon of beauty. I guess some people might say, well, you might say that because she's not white, so you're not going to see her as beautiful as you would see a white person. But I just think objectively, I mean, somebody with short hair, for a start, is not really showing off how beautiful that women can actually be. She added that the Odyssey in Greek mythology is not an historical retelling. She says, "I'm very supportive of Chris's intentions with it and with the version of the story that he is telling," the 12 years a slave actress told Elle, noting that Nolan's cast is representative of the world. "I'm not spending my time thinking of a defence," she exclaimed. "The criticism will exist whether I engage with it or not. It's quite something to be a part of the Odyssey because it is so grand, it spans worlds. So that's why the cast is what it is. We are occupying the epic narrative of our time," Nyong'o said of her being cast in the film. As Breitbart News reported, unconfirmed rumours of transvestite actor Elliot Page, formerly Ellen Page, playing famed Greek warrior Achilles in Nolan's film also sparked a backlash. Well, I'm not surprised. They're going to start putting transvestites in it as well. I mean, did they really have transvestites back then? They might have done, but I don't think they would have been warriors. They would have been the opposite of warriors. They would have been effeminate men rather than butch warriors, I would have thought. "You could have paid me to tank this movie and I wouldn't have thought of this," actor Kevin Sorbo said of the alleged casting. So he was saying, if I could have tried to think of a way to destroy the movie, I wouldn't have thought of that one, but it is likely to destroy the movie. I think that's effectively what he's saying there. Earlier this year, when Nyong'o's role was still a rumour, billionaire entrepreneur Elon Musk blasted the news, writing, "Chris Nolan has lost his integrity," in response to an ex-user who noted Helen of Troy was a fair-skinned blonde who men started a war over because she was so beautiful. So effectively, once again, we see the whitewashing, of our history, and we see black actors in whiteface. We see this pretense that European history has always been multicultural when it hasn't. And we see this desire to replace white people with black people. I mean, it's just erasing white people from our own history, really. I mean, it's quite offensive. But, of course, that's what Hollywood does. And I say, if Hollywood wants to do this, it's up to them. But people should be aware of the fact that, as I say, that Jews do disproportionately make up a lot of the people at the top of Hollywood. And this is the sort of thing that they like to do. As I say, you can't really criticise them for doing it. They're trying to weaken their competitors, and they're trying to improve their own chances in life. And I think that's what people need to know, really. They need to understand the reason why this is happening. And also, it explodes this idea that diversity is somehow this good and positive thing for us. And it's not. It's a way of weakening us. It's a way that our opponents have discovered is very effective at weakening us. And I think once you know that, once you understand what the issues are, then you can start thinking about ways to counteract them. And I think one of the best ways to counteract them is just to have people like myself and our other hosts here at Radio Albion talking about these issues and explaining things with our sort of background of many years' research into these sorts of subjects. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.